This episode of IntelliCast is sponsored by MTS.
MTS is a global exams company and online language school headquartered in London.
Hi, and welcome to IntelliCast, the podcast that looks into the world of English language education.
I'm Sona Lisa Bose in Bangalore at the moment.
And I'm Martin Thomas in the UK. So, Sona, you have been talking to Ilaria from RefuAid. That must have been really interesting.
Yeah, it's fascinating the work that they do and the insights that Ilaria gave us. I know both of us have worked with refugees and asylum seekers in the past. We've had the privilege of working with them, I'd say. And I think for those of you who haven't had the opportunity yet, or who have, even if you have had the chance to do so, I think this interview is going to give you some really interesting insights into what's going on and how we can best support.
Yes, and the challenges that these asylum seekers and refugees face every day. And language learning is a major part of that.
Exactly. Language comes into that so much every step of the way. So let's hear a little bit more from Ilaria about what happens in these classes. Okay, so we're joined by Ilaria today from RefuAid. Thank you very much, Ilaria, for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, lovely. It's lovely to have you. But for those of our listeners who don't yet know about RefuAid, can you tell us a bit about what you do and your role in the charity?
Yes, so RefuAid is a London-based charity that supports refugees and asylum seekers to rebuild their lives here in the UK, essentially, specifically from a professional perspective. We do so via three core programs, which represent, I think, every step, you know, the most important steps in the professional development journey of people from a forced migration background arriving here in the UK. So the first step is language. So obviously language is one of the main barriers. And we do try to overcome this, partnering with English UK and British Council private language schools all across the country. Each institution offers to our students free language tuition. And on the other side, the RefuAid will cover transportation costs whenever students need to attend in-person classes. And we do also cover up to two exams attempts. We do also have a volunteering program. So we have an amazing community of qualified teachers that support our clients mainly in one-to-one online classes. They do support them with IELTS, OET, General English, you name it. Mm-hmm. And finally, we do work with the universities. So we have a number of top-notch universities, I would say, in the UK, and they do offer spaces in their professional courses for our clients that hold a conditional offer from the specific institution. Mm-hmm. The next step is loan and requalification. So for all those people that have a refugee status, so they do not have their asylum claim pending, and they need financial support to requalify. And this is mainly for, you know, if we think about healthcare professionals that, you know, after passing the either IELTS or DOET, they will need to register with the General Medical Council or
of
the
course.
General Pharmaceutical Council. They will need to do PLABS, you know, and OSPAP, all those kind of exams that and courses that are really, really, really expensive. Mm-hmm. We try to support them with a free interest loan, £1,000, that individuals can use for requalification training, registration with professional bodies. And throughout the whole journey, they will be allocated to a caseworker, which will continue to provide guidance from, I would say, you know, from the emotional side of things, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to requalification advice. And finally, we do have an employability project. So we do work with employers across the UK. We also do work quite closely with the NHS, and each employer organizes, facilitates for us networking events at their offices so that our clients have the opportunity to network, to have an idea, to grasp, you know, how it feels like working in a specific sector here in the UK, and overall to improve their employability skills, overall employability skills, and hopefully this will lead them for them to land to, you know, to a job, to work that is commensurate with their professional skills. So this is essentially
yeah.
what.
Okay, that's amazing. That offers so much support and hope for the asylum seekers and refugees at a time when they need it the most, I think. So that's great.
Yeah.
Let me go take you back to the beginning then, and you say how you help them in their language journey. And language is essential for everyday transactions. Do you find that many refugees lack the level to be able to just to survive in the UK when they first arrive?
Yeah, I mean, so when it comes to RefWade, we do support only individuals that have a B1 level at least. And this is because if we start to support people that are below the level of English, they would be stuck for a very long time into our, you know, in our programs. We wouldn't be able, you know, to offer, you know, this kind of support to, you know, to other people. So whenever we have someone that is below the level, we do signpost to other organizations or to ESOL classes. However, in my experience, for example, I have volunteered with Care for Cale previously, and I was working in, was volunteering in one of the hotels that was hosting a high number of asylum seekers here in London. I can confirm that many of them, if not most of them, and especially those that were a bit older, did not have knowledge of English at all, and they were really struggling with daily stuff. And the reason is also because there is not much support around, especially when it comes to language. The waiting list to join ESOL courses is extremely long. Also, ESOL classes are free of charge only for individuals that arrived in the UK after 6 months, which means that for the first 6 months of their arrival, they have no access to English classes for free. So this kind of support is only offered by volunteers of you know, local charities that, you know, maybe visit the hotel and independently organize these kind of courses. But it's definitely not enough, and definitely the support is not out there.
Yeah, it must be so hard and so tough for them. But you know, whatever help we can offer, or you guys can offer, is great.
Yeah.
So you were saying that they have to be at least B1 to get on a course. How do they actually get onto the courses?
So I would say that people get in touch with RefWade mainly through word of mouth or by other local or national organizations. So when I say word of mouth, is that, you know, as not uncommon that people just text us because a family member or a friend was supported in the past by RefWade. In terms of getting into our program, all they need to do is to apply via the form that they can find on our website. However, we do receive a high number of applications every week. At the moment, we have an extremely long waiting list. Consider that we have more than 2,000 people on our books that are still waiting to receive support from us. Realistically speaking, we will never be able to get in touch with every single person. We try to offer as much as possible, you know, through our partnerships. Like, for example, at the moment, we have 362 currently studying students. It means that 362 students at this time, they are enrolled in one of our courses and are currently receiving support. However, we can offer, you know, whatever we want, but the offer will never match the high demand that is out there. And this is obviously is very frustrating because it means that we will need to leave some people out somehow. You know, we will need to find a way to prioritize people. And as a matter of fact, every time that we have an opportunity available, we need to go through the waiting list and choose carefully who we want to put forward. And obviously, I mean, as I said, this is quite frustrating because you are forced to prioritize to decide who at that time will receive support over other people. However, I do not see any other way, any different way of doing that. When it comes to eligibility criteria, as I said, people need to have at least a B1 level of language. If the level is below, we do refer, we do signpost to other organizations. And then whenever the client, the student, reach the appropriate level of English, they can get back to us at any point. We do also support only people that are 18 years old and above. And we tend to prioritize either students that already have conditional offers from a UK university, and professionals that have a clear path. So, healthcare professionals, lawyers, engineers, teachers, someone that knows exactly where they want to be, let's say in the UK. And this is because it makes easier for us to support them. We don't need to spend, much time with them trying to understand, okay, so what do you want to do in the UK? Why do you need this exam? Why do you want this course of English? It's just easier for us.
What about actually teaching asylum seekers and refugees? Have you had any feedback from the teachers themselves? Is it different from teaching general English classes?
I would say yes. This is because when teaching individuals from a forced migration background, you really need to take into account a series of challenges that they face on a daily basis. They go, they carry traumatic experiences, they face housing challenges, financial difficulties, they do not have, a support system when it comes to childcare, for example. So I would say that, every single person is unique and every single person has unique needs. However, when it comes to what we call RAS students, refugees and asylum seeker students, a recurrent theme is the low confidence, low self-esteem, struggling to focus when it comes to, learning a new language. To give you an example, housing is a big thing, especially when you are an asylum seeker, because when you have an asylum claim pending, the Home Office can relocate you with either a very short notice or no notice at all, and most of the times with no explanation. And this means that, if you're currently attending a language class face-to-face in a specific school, most likely that you will need to change school. So this means that, there is going to be a disruption in your educational journey, really. Another thing when it comes to housing is that newly refugees, they face a high risk of becoming homeless. This is because councils do not have enough social houses. Another thing that, based on feedback of teachers and partner schools, is that having induction sessions, one-to-one induction sessions before starting classes is one of the best way to approach refugees and asylum seeker students. And this is because this gives the opportunity for RAS students to feel more comfortable. It sets boundaries, expectations, and at times, is an occasion for refugees and asylum seekers to open up, share what are their recurring challenges. And this helps teachers to have a better understanding, to provide some degree of flexibility and support, as well as to avoid certain learning activities. An example is, let's say, if we take into account someone that has lost, because of conflict in their own countries, their family members, you might want to avoid as a teacher to use, describing someone's family as a speaking activity, because this may trigger an emotional reaction from someone that lost their family. Another thing is if you know that someone is currently living in a hotel, already as a teacher that most likely they do not have a space to study, to review, to do their homework. So you might want to offer in-house, in the school, a space for them to stay after the classes to review, to study, to network, to socializing. So yeah, there are like a few things that differs from teaching students that they come from a different background, I would say.
Yeah, so many things to think about, and I think this is really valuable for our listeners as well, who are teachers and stakeholders within schools, to keep all of this in mind. And kind of let me move you forward a little bit now. So along the journey, you said that a lot of your all of your clients have a very clear pathway, and I know many of your clients are medical professionals in their countries. And of course, they want to carry on here. How does the OET and its teachers help them with their career goals?
So let me start saying that at this very moment, we do have 160 healthcare professionals that are currently studying for the OET. So they are either doctors, pharmacists, or nurses. So when it comes to medical professions, they can usually choose between the IELTS and the OET to requalify. However, they always go for the OET, and us at RefWade, we always do advise to the OET instead of the IELTS. This is because it's an exam that it's relevant for their for their career. They need to use a clinical terminology. They have an idea of how it could feel like potentially, providing some diagnosis in English. They already have an idea of what it would feel like from the language perspective, working in a medical setting in the UK. At the moment, as I said, we do have 160 healthcare professionals. OET courses are really expensive. Exams are really expensive. So it's not something that is that accessible. However, we do have, as I mentioned before, an amazing community of teachers. Many of them are OET premium providers that they do support our clients to pass the exam, to get used to do to the exams. And when it comes as well for schools, so we do work with a number of schools that do provide OET courses mainly online. These are all courses that if there wasn't, the willingness to support, RAS medical professional, these are courses that wouldn't be accessible for them. And I think as well, especially when it comes to the UK, schools, teachers are really understanding on the fact that, in the UK there is a shortage of medical professionals. We need to recruit medical professionals from abroad. However, we do have already here in the UK a high number, a large number of medical professionals with amazing experience. So when it comes to, OET teachers to help them to, with their career goals, I think that, as I said, is a journey, and it's just the best way to move forward, really. I think is the most appropriate exam. For example, I mean, we see the satisfaction of clients, students after they pass the OET, they already know what to expect somehow. Classes are usually very well structured. I'm not an OET teacher, however, I do join every now and then classes that our OET teachers offer to our clients, and it's just beautiful, to witnessing those kind of classes, witnessing some kind of activities, especially when it comes to speaking activities. It's like giving them back some sort of agency that they lost in their journey because they are doctors again.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a great way of putting it. And are there any particular cases that come to mind where someone's been able to get a really great position at work or at university after being helped by RefuAid?
Yeah, so since the beginning of RefWay, more than 1,000 people completed the language program, and 240 people graduated from our program since May 2023. So a lot of stories come to my mind. However, just to give an example, in the past, we supported a lovely doctor called Ayman. He was from Syria, and he had to flee his country due to war. He arrived in the UK in 2018, and at that time he had the B2 level of language. He contacted RefWade in 2019, asking for support with OET preparations. However, he wasn't fully ready for the OET yet due to the level of general English. So one of our partner schools in Manchester offered him a general English course so that he could achieve an advanced level of language. And then he just focused on, OET with some of our schools, and he also receives one-to-one support from one of our teachers. So in 2021, Ayman passed the OET, and he was then introduced to our loan and requalification team. He borrowed was almost £7,000 as a free interest loan to cover the cost of his training, requalification exams. He did general medical. He registered with the General Medical Council and also the Royal College of Surgeon. He got the membership because he was a surgeon. He had to sit basically four different exams before he was, fully able to requalify as a surgeon in 2022. However, I'm very pleased to say that he is now working as a vascular surgeon registrar at the Manchester University NHS Trust. He's earning almost £60,000 per year, and he's contributing to, the financial economy, to the economy of the UK, paying his taxes. And I'm also very pleased to say that only a couple of months ago, he fully repaid his loan. So he's one of the many, success stories that come to my mind.
So massive congratulations to him and to everyone involved in that, and all of the others that I know, who have gone through a similar journey with you guys and are doing so well. So huge congratulations to that. And then finally, if any of our listeners would like to get involved, how can they help?
So we're always on the lookout for OET teachers out there. And this is because, as I mentioned, our offer will never match the high demand. So if there's any OET teacher listening, please do get in touch. We do support, again, more than 100 healthcare professionals at any given time. So we do really need support with OET preparation. To get in touch with us, you can just go on our website, www.refwaid.org.uk, and there is a form that says apply to be a volunteer teacher.
Okay, wonderful. Oh, well, that was so interesting and inspiring. Thank you very much, Ilaria, and thank you to RefuAid for all that you're doing as well. I think it's amazing.
Thank you.
And thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye.
So that's so interesting, Martin, isn't it?
I think that people will be surprised at some of the situations that are faced by both RefuAid and also the students themselves.
Absolutely. And something that really stuck out was the fact that her clients can be enrolled onto a course and then suddenly be moved without notice. And that must be so disruptive to the student who's just got into their stride, the rest of the students, the teachers, and it must be really disheartening as well, I can imagine.
Well, yes, I experienced that with my own students, that they had notification that they were going to be moved the next day. They had no idea where, they had no idea exactly when, but they were just told that, to expect to be moved. And that insecurity adds on the pressure when they're waiting to do an exam, a vital exam, that means that they can, that they'll become qualified to work.
Yes, I mean, we all know how pressurized language learning can be in any case. And then add on to that maybe the challenges of childcare, which, many people face as well. And then add on to that the uncertainty of not knowing where you're going to be and having to do a high stakes exam. I really take my hat off to these people. To these refugees and asylum seekers. I think what they do is incredibly inspiring, and they have such determination to succeed, as we heard in that lovely story that Ilaria told us about Ayman, I think it was.
That's right. Yes, those stories that we hear really do sort of like they're very hard hitting, and we've come into contact with these people, and I don't think we really still can understand or imagine what they've been through to get here and then sort of like the conditions that they're under now, which, you know, I mean, I had one student who you talked of childcare, the only way that she could really study was to lock herself in the bathroom because they were in a hotel.
Oh, wow. My goodness. I can't imagine having to
So,
study from a bathroom.
and she was in the bathroom. That's the only way she can get any peace and quiet. Well, her husband was looking after the two kids in the bedroom, which is, you know, it's, you
Yeah.
know, the ensuite bathroom in a hotel bedroom.
Yeah. Well, I
So,
suppose you just do what you have to do. And again, it's just a credit to the determination and perseverance that they can.
yes. And so to actually achieve what they need in an exam is just outstanding, really, with the pressures, all the external pressures. And also, we have no idea what they've been through, and they still have that determination and just great motivation to achieve
Yeah, yeah.
what they have to.
Yeah, amazing. Well, that was incredibly inspiring. And thank you, everyone, for listening to that. Hopefully, we've inspired you a little bit to get involved as well, if you can.
Yes. So if you or if you know anybody that would be willing to volunteer or have can, you know, help in any way, don't forget to get in touch with RefuAid.
So that's it for today. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you again next time.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This episode of IntelliCast is sponsored by MTS.
MTS is a global exams company and online language school headquartered in London.